little bit ago with Daniel, and I think all the young people thought that was their cue, and they started all taking off. So, anyhow, John chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1. Appreciate the sermon and song that we just heard, and that goes along with our sermon today. There was just one reason. I was the reason. And we're going to look at a lady today who matches that song. And it says in John chapter 4 and verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And in verse 4 it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And the sixth hour means it was the sixth hour of sunlight, so it was about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. She doesn't get it yet. She thinks he's talking about physical water. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking physical, and she's thinking indoor plumbing. That sounds good, you know. And verse 15, 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. We'll stop there and we'll pray. Lord, I help us to hear from you. I pray that you'd just help us to have calm hearts, and that the young people in here would listen, that we would be attentive to your word, that all of us, every one of us, would listen to what your word has to say. Thank you for getting us here and for safety. I pray that no one is stuck in you or stranded. I pray that you would help us to be home, get home safely as well. And thank you for the opportunity to meet together and to be encouraging to one another and to open the book. Help us to hear from your word now, and that you would guide my mind, my mouth, through your Holy Spirit and the word. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. He just had to go there. You ever heard that expression? You just had to go there, right? And he just had to go there. It says in chapter 4 and verse number 4, he must needs go through Samaria. That's a short verse, but there's a lot of power in that verse. There's a lot of information in that verse. He must needs go through Samaria. Samaria was kind of right in the center of Israel. And Samaria was where all of the Samaritans lived, because Samaritans were a mixed multitude. They were a mixed race of people. They were not full-blooded Jew. In other words, they couldn't prove their heritage and their inheritance all the way back to Abraham. Harmony, are you listening? They couldn't prove it all the way back to Abraham. They couldn't prove that they had a pedigree, that they had a birth certificate that showed that there were descendants straight from Abraham. So therefore, they were a mixed multitude, a mixed race of people. And oh, by the way, racism, as they call it, or prejudice, is an old thing. It's an old practice. And obviously, if you read the story and read between the lines, obviously the Jews did not treat the Samaritans very well. Because it says here, verse number 9, when the woman of Samaria said unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews, John explains, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I guarantee you there's somebody in here right now that you felt that, where someone has not treated you the same. I know over in other countries, if your skin is a certain color, you go to the back of the line. Sometimes in this place, in this country as well. And maybe it's not so much your skin color, but maybe it's your status. You know, where you live, what kind of car you drive, and how many numbers you have in your bank account. And this woman was in the middle of this, and so she's just shocked. She's shocked that this Jew, all right, is sitting at her well and actually wanting to talk to her. That doesn't happen. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. But he went to where no one else would go. If you're filling in the blanks, he went to where no one else would go. Others would not have talked to her. As a matter of fact, verse 27, his own disciples wouldn't talk to her. Wouldn't have talked to her. It says in verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. In other words, she wouldn't have done that. Hey, you know something? I think everybody in here, just about everybody in here, probably calls himself a Christian. But you know that there's some of us in here, we don't talk to people. It's wrong. Maybe it's because of their status or their position or whatever it might be. It's kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know what I mean? And these folks, they did not like each other. And it probably started way back before her grandparents were even born. But she just was shocked that he would talk to her. Now, I think something else is shocking, and I mentioned it earlier. The sixth hour is actually the 12th hour, or our noon. You know, the sixth hour of the daylight would be high noon. That's not the time to go get water out of the well. What I think is that she purposely went out at high noon because she knew none of the other ladies would be there. Because when you read in the passage, you start to realize that she had some things. She wasn't just a Samaritan. She wasn't even a very good Samaritan, all right? I mean, she was kind of, you know, I don't know all the details. I just know if you've been married 5 times, something's wrong, all right? Something's wrong. You might be a bad cook, but something's wrong, all right? And she obviously wasn't even, you know, a good Samaritan. But the Bible says in verse 4, okay, let's say it again. He must needs go through Samaria. Why it says that way is because if you look at a map, the southern part of Israel was kind of blocked from the northern part of Israel with a river Jordan and this mass called Samaria right in the center there. And they literally would go out of their way, lots of distance, over across Jordan, come back around, come back over the top, back into Judea, and go around Samaria. They would just go around Samaria. You don't go through Samaria, you go around Samaria if you're living back then. And so the disciples were like, "I can't believe we're going through." And even the way John wrote, he had to go through Samaria. Why? Because he's God. And he knows. He's probably been watching her go out to that well for years. For days and weeks and months, he from heaven has been watching. Nobody else cares about this woman. I'm just throwing in a few things here, but nobody else really gives a rip about this woman. And he sees her every day by herself going out to that well all by herself, and his heart is broken for her. His heart is moved for her. And the 12 are like, well, I don't know why we got to go through Samaria. This is crazy. He must needs go through Samaria. He has a reason. Just like the song, I was the reason. Point number two, he told her of the water of life that she needed. So he says, if thou knewest the gift of God, verse 10, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. Of course, she's not thinking spiritual. And normally, people naturally, we're just natural, all right? And I mean, she's out there every day. It's hot. It's not the time to be hauling water. And she's out there and she's like, wow, that sounds nice, you know. But she's thinking water, like we would have thought water. And she says, sir, thou hast none thing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence thou hast the... Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which dug this well? And gave us this well, his children, his cattle? And of course, the answer is yes. And so he tells her of a life-quenching, thirst-quenching water. It can quench the eternal thirst in every heart. My wife's got me... She's done a pretty good job. This is now my favorite beverage. And what I've learned is it does the best job. And I know who made it. I know who invented it. And it really does quench your thirst. We had some coffee yesterday. It didn't do the job. You know, it tasted better. They put more junk in it to make it taste better. But it really doesn't quench your thirst. And what I found is that good old-fashioned water does. Wouldn't you all like to have a drink? You know something? There's just no comparison between artificial and the real thing. I, in fact, based on her conversation, she had some religion. She had some religious knowledge. But you know, her religion wasn't satisfying, obviously. She doesn't read to be a satisfied person. If you've been married 5 times... and you're living with somebody else who's not even your husband, I'm just going to guess you're probably not a satisfied person, okay? And he's saying, lady, I want you to understand, I've got something that'll satisfy. I've got something that you need that will fix what you've been looking for all your life. And there's just no comparison. I mean, there's lots of artificial religion out there. There's a lot of artificial sweeteners and artificial flavors, but they're just not the same as the real thing. I appreciate Lorraine getting in here on a two-wheel drive car. She must have wanted to come, you know? I appreciate all of you getting here. You know something? Jesus satisfies. And we're not just... And look, nobody said we had to come today. Nobody forced anybody to get here today. Except I told Miss Woman she had to come. We come because we want to. And he satisfies. Number three, it says, he said this life-changing water is for, notice verse 14. I love the verse 13. It has it in there, verse 14. There's an awesome word in the Old King James Bible. Whosoever. Some of the most beautiful words in the whole Bible. Whosoever. It's an Old English word, but it means whoever. Whosoever. Bible says in John 3, just one page back, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, if you want to, whosoever will may come. He said to her, if you want it, you can have it. If you want this living water, you can have it. It can be yours. And it's a water that will spring up like a well of spring water into everlasting, like a spring, not just a well, but a spring. And of course, she's still thinking physical. All right. So verse 15, she says, oh, sir, give me this water that I don't have to come out here anymore. I don't have to come hither to draw, you know. That would be awesome. Indoor plumbing. You know, but she's still thinking physical. She's not recognizing what he's saying. Now, the one thing about whosoever, and someone quoted it in Sunday school already, this water must be received. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can't force someone to drink water. They have to want to. You can lead a horse to water. Can't make him drink. And so he says, whosoever, but you have to receive it personally. You have to want to. And so the people in this room that are saved, you got saved because you wanted it. This young man sitting over here 2 weeks ago, I didn't know him. And I'll be honest, I figured he's a typical teenage boy. He's probably like, I'm just here because my dad asked me to come, but I could care less about what you're talking about. But man, after church, he grabbed a hold of me and he said, I want that water. I want to be saved. And, that's what we're looking for. And now, I'm not God, and you're not God, so we don't have the ability to look in someone's heart and tell that they're just ready, you know. So a lot of times we'll, invite them to know the Lord, and here, would you like to read this, or can I talk to you about what the Bible says about salvation and give them the gospel? And, oh, not interested. We don't know people like he knows people. So what we have to do is just keep talking to everybody. And sooner or later, we find somebody that's really looking. And I'll be honest, 2 weeks ago, my human brain said, first time at church, that teenager's not ready to listen to the gospel. Little did I know, he was very ready. Okay? So that's why God arranges those special meetings. I mean, that's why God, I brag about this story too much, but I love Lorraine's story, how that she's like, God, if you were real, my life wouldn't be this messed up. So she goes to the bakery, and a Christian leaves her a tip of $250 with a note on the receipt saying, I don't know why, but God says to tell you that he loves you. And here's $250. And it was just like God saying, hey, you might think I don't exist, but I still think you exist. I'm still paying attention to you, even if you're not paying attention to me. See, Jesus loves people. He loves people enough to die on the cross for people. And that's why he went out of his way, so to speak, to go into Samaria to sit at that well at high noon. It's got to be sweating time. It's got to be sweltering heat. He's sitting out there. Again, early in the morning, late in the evening, that's when people go to the water well. And she here she comes, and she's probably shocked. There's a stranger. Not only is this stranger, he's a Jew. He's one of those religious kind, that have nothing to do with us. And he proved to her that they're not all that way. At least he wasn't. Can I stop and say this? I hope and pray that we don't have that reputation. Oh, that's that church. You don't go to that church. You're not good enough. Whatever. I think it was just a week or two ago. I said, we got jailbirds that go to our church. Ex-cons, But that's good. Now, it's not good that they busted out of jail. But if they were legally released and they were saved, the point is this, is that it's encouraging when you realize that you're not the only sinner in the room. We're all sinners. And whosoever. I never been to jail or prison, as a criminal, but I'm telling you, I'm just as criminal in God's eyes with my sin as anybody. I'm a chief of sinners. And so she's still, naturally, she's just like, man, this sounds like a deal. I mean, I don't have to keep coming out here and get water because you're talking about this spring of water that's just... And so she's still thinking the wrong thing, She's not quite getting the picture here, but she's interested. And she already knows something. She already knows that he cares about her. Because first of all, he's talking to her, and no other Jewish man had ever done that. And secondly, he's talking nice to her. And he's telling her that he's got something that she needs. And it sounds like it's for free. But here's something else you got to understand. He dug deeper than most would dare to go. Remember the title of the sermon? He just had to go there. He didn't just have to go to Samaria. He had to go there with her right now. Here, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring up something that's not very nice. It says in verse 16, she said, well, I want that. Yeah, I think I want that. And a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I want to pray this prayer so I can have eternal life. That sounds good. What God wants to know is if you're real and if you understand what it is that he's saying. And so in verse 16, he says, go call your husband and come hither. Go call thy husband. And I'm just going to picture that maybe her head kind of dropped a little bit. Verse 17. He had to go there. Right? He just had to go there. Verse 17. She said, I have no husband. Now this is the most shocking. Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. And that saidest thou truly. I don't think he said it quite like that, but that's what he said. He said, you're right. The guy you're with now is not your husband. But you've been married five times, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. Why do you have to do that? I mean, it was such a nice, pleasant conversation up until then. Why do you have to do that? Because he cared. Can I say something? I know this because it's true for me. I know that sometimes I don't go deeper because I don't really care. Because now you're taking a risk. There's a real good chance she's going to throw water right in his face, dump it over his head, and stomp a wall and run off. He just insulted her, so to speak. But you know what? It's the people who care who dig a little deeper. Who even though you say, don't go there, they still persist. They still, you know, someone says to you, don't ever come to my house again with that garbage. All right, I'll honor your request, but when I see you at the grocery store, I'm still going to talk to you. And you didn't say I couldn't mail you a letter. Hey, listen, that's what, he's digging deeper. And you know why he's digging deeper? He requires, for all of us, he requires an open and honest heart. It isn't necessary that we dredge up every sin in our life, but he was talking present tense to her. And he wanted her to understand that what he's talking about is not just going out to a water well and fixing your material problem. What he's talking about is your spiritual thirst and the spiritual problem that has led to this life you've lived. So verse 19, I laugh at verse 19, because verse 19, she says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, you just told me my whole life. You know, how did you know that? You must be a prophet. He exposed her life of thirst and her lack of satisfaction. That's what he's doing. He's just exposing. And it is not necessary when I talk to people that I bring up everything in their past or ask them to repeat their past. But it is necessary that we understand what we're getting saved from. Okay? Not just saved to heaven, but getting saved from hell. All right? Because without Jesus, we're on our way to hell. All right? And religion does not save us. This lady had some religion. She wasn't satisfied with religion. I guarantee you there's a whole bunch of people that did not try hard to go to their church today. Because why? Because it doesn't satisfy anyway, so why would I risk my neck driving on the road just to get something that doesn't satisfy me anyway? But she is now finding out this man's not what she thought he was. He's more. And she starts asking him questions about the Messiah. She said, sir, I've got some questions about the Messiah. The Messiah is the Christ, the anointed one, the promised Savior who comes to pay for the sin of the world, to be the one that saves us and rescues us out of this mess. And so she starts to ask him some questions about Messiah, and he answers the questions. He tells her, look, the Samaritans don't have it. You know, the Samaritan religion is all goofy. But he says, but you know what? Neither Jerusalem or Samaria has the answer. It's not, you know, the Jewish folks, they're not following the Lamb right now either. So he says in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I know that there's a Messiah coming. And he's going to explain it to us. And he said, I that speak unto thee am he. And when he told her who he was, she believed him. You know how I know she believed him? Right then, the disciples, verse 27, came back. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that she talked with a woman, yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" Because that's typical hypocrite religion. You know, you think one thing, but you don't say it. verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. Now, wait a minute. What was it she came out there for? She came out to, she thought that she needed water. That's why she came out. You know what? She was so excited about what she found, she left what she thought she needed behind. That's how it works. You get saved and you leave what you thought you needed. You get saved and all of a sudden what you thought was your problem isn't that big of a deal because you found the answer to the real thing. The real problem was solved with Christ. She's so excited she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to them, now get this, verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I think it was last week's preacher that said this. Recently, I think it was Brother Bill. Somebody recently said, you know, this woman obviously has been with 6 different men. Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. This woman had the attention of the men. What's she doing? She is witnessing. And she's not afraid to use herself in a negative way to prove that he is who he says he is. In other words, she's not so embarrassed to bring up the fact that, hey, I just met a man who told me everything I ever did, and I've been trying to keep that hush for years. But she's excited. But they can see she's happy. They haven't seen her happy in a long time. And the whole city is kind of in an uproar because of this woman's testimony. He told her he can only be worshipped in spirit and in truth. In spirit, meaning you have to be saved. If church is just such a boring waste of time for you, it's probably because you're not saved. If reading the Bible is such a boring waste of time for you, it's probably because you don't have the Spirit of God and you're not saved. I'm not saying that saved people can't ever get backslidden and not feel like going to church or reading their Bible. But if you are at all spiritual, if you have any ounce of the Spirit of God in you and you're saved, there's just something that you're drawn to and you want to hear more. You want to have more. And he says he can only be worshipped in spirit. See, the Samaritans were arguing about worshipping on this mountain. The Jews said, oh, it's in this temple. But the truth is, both of them had gotten away from the Lamb of God. And neither one of them had real spiritual worship going on. I mean, Jesus drove them out of the temple because of their lack of spiritual worship. And so he said, in spirit and in truth. And now, truth is just real, all right? And this Bible is truth. He is truth. And so in spirit and truth, he can only be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And verse 28, she went her way in the city when she knew she'd found the truth. She didn't need the water pot anymore. And then lastly, verse 28, verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come out unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Wonder what the poor disciples thought of that. We got to stick around 2 more days. Jesus was teaching his disciples that I love these people even if you don't. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, let me just stop and say this. You know, not everybody's going to believe you because of you. But the point is, they found Jesus Christ. And even the ones that said, well, we didn't believe you, but now we believe because we've heard him. I'm sure she's like, as long as you believe, you know. And that's my last point. She told everybody about him. She told everybody. Even the embarrassing. I guarantee you, I'm just going to say it, and if I'm wrong, get to heaven, you can correct me when we get to heaven. She told all 5 of the husbands. I think so. I think she connected with him and said, hey, I found the Christ. She told everybody. And some of them believed straight from what she said, and some believed after they went and found Jesus for themselves. The point is they all believed because of her, because of what he did. He just had to go there. He just had to go talk to one person, just like the song, I was the reason. I was the reason. And that's what she's saying. She's saying, I was the reason he came. He came to talk to me. He came to talk to me. And she came and went and talked to everybody. Hey, maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today you can be saved. Today you can be born again. You can trust him and have him as your own personal Savior. Not only that, but maybe you are saved and you just need to be reminded. It's not about keeping it quiet. Don't keep your past quiet if he saved you from it. Now, don't glory in it and brag about it. But don't keep it quiet. Say, hey, here's why. In fact, in about a half hour, I'm going to say to whoever's in here, the reason why this is happening is because the gospel was heard and there was salvation. And because of salvation, there's now a marriage. That's what God's all about. He's all about taking things and getting them put back together. Straighten things out. I don't know what happened after this. It doesn't say what happened with this Samaritan woman. I guarantee you this, though. I'm going to talk to her one day. We're going to have a nice conversation. It's going to be a beautiful thing. I guarantee you she's singing Amazing Grace because it's been amazing. I guarantee you she's super excited about what God did in her life. And if you're so excited, then shouldn't you be telling people? And I said a little while ago, you know, we got some jailbirds or we got... Listen, use it. Don't exaggerate it, but just share it. Say, look, I was the chiefest of sinners. Craig's pointing at himself. No, you're second chief. I'm chief. Listen to me. The more people that see the differences in the community, in the Custer Township, and start recognizing, hey, man, that guy used to do this, and that gal used to do this, and what happened? Met Jesus. What changed? Jesus. He came, found me. He told me that I belonged, and he wanted me to be his. Some of his disciples were a little snobbish at first, but he wasn't. Right? Let's tell people what he's done for us. Again, if you're not saved, why don't you get saved today? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Eyes closed. I just want to ask, would there be someone that would say,